SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions has begun. I am on the grid. Gabriel Morantzis, straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Let's do this thing. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, will rejoin us tomorrow. We'll be back in the studio tomorrow as well. As we've been in Vegas, it's been quite the weekend. Man, we've seen everything. We've seen shows, events, concerts, bands, Raiders and Colts. You name it, we've seen it. And we got Monday Night Football tonight that we're going to be laying it down on. And just quickly, as far as the Raiders are concerned, I see here Raiders owner Mark Davis offers public support of Josh McDaniels amid 2-7 start. Quote, he's doing a fantastic job. He's doing a fantastic job. Fantastic job at what? Running this thing into the ditch? Fantastic job of giving up 20 or more points every week? Fantastic job of having the 30th ranked defense? Fantastic job getting shut out by the Saints? Fantastic job blowing a 17-point lead against the Jags. Fantastic job blowing a 20-0 lead against the Arizona Cardinals. Fantastic job losing to the Indianapolis Colts yesterday. Fantastic at what? Let's bring in George Kurtz, who's going to be hanging out with us. We'll get some hockey picks, some football picks from Kurtz. Coach James Young is back. We're going to hit the hardwood a little bit later on. Dave Sherapan steps up and in as well. George, doing a fantastic job. What's going on, George? How you doing?
You know, Gabe, I dislike when an owner or a GM talks like that, right? Don't bull BS us. We know what's going on here, right? We know what's going on. You just lost to a team that hired a coach that was working on NFL Live 5 days ago, all right? And who's never coached at the college level or pro football level, all right? You want to talk about that he's a great guy? Fine. But you just lost this game to them, a team that was in disarray. Right? That looked like they were playing. Maybe they didn't even want to win football games. They want to get a higher draft pick here. And you lost at home to this team. All right. So don't tell me he's doing a great job. Someone's going to pay the price for this. And it's not McDaniel, by the way. And I assume it's not going to be the GM. Well, next in line is the quarterback. Maybe it's Derek Carr who pays the price for this at the end of the season. But someone's taking the blame for this.
And it's not, it doesn't appear as though it's going to be McDaniels. I don't know if Davis doesn't want to pay him, doesn't want to fire him, and doesn't want to pay him, if that's one of the reasons, or he legitimately thinks. But you're right. I mean, what's the expression? Don't take a leak on me and tell me it's raining, right? And I kept it cleaner. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like Raider fans might be crazy, but they're not stupid. So they know that Josh McDaniels is not doing a fantastic job. So, just come out and say, listen, I'm not happy with the way things are going at all, but no, we're not going to fire him. As opposed to, oh, he's doing a great job. Well, he's clearly not doing a great job. Bisaccia did a better job. Bisaccia got you into the playoffs. And it's getting ugly. Like, Devontae Adams got booed. Like, they're booing Devontae Adams. They're booing the team. It's a pretty ugly scene there. And I'll tell you what, George, like, Raider fans are very positive and they love their team so much, but even they're fed up now.
Yeah, I mean, they should have never fired Bisaccia for what he went through last year with the Gruden stuff, and then, of course, what happened with Ruggs there. I mean, you don't fire that man. You just don't. That's the kind of coach you want, right? They rallied around him. What a mistake.
Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. I am Gabriel Morenzi. We're kicking it live in Las Vegas, Nevada. George Kurt steps up and in with us. We'll get to some Monday Night Football picks and props. We'll talk NHL hockey with Kurtz. We got Coach James Young. We'll bang the NBA card a little bit later on. Dave Sherapan will join us as well. So we got a full house here on the program. Monday Night Football tonight. FanDuel, George, right now has the Washington Commanders getting 11.5 points against the Philadelphia Eagles. Total is now 42.5. What's your opinion on the point spread and the total?
Yeah, it's gone up. I know this morning, right, this game was at 10.5. So it's gone up in the past 6-8 hours or so. Not a surprise here. It's hard to like Washington. They are competing, You know, I'll give the Commanders, they are competing, and maybe it's a division game. Maybe they can sort of keep it close here. But the Eagles have been coasting all season long. They really haven't really had a test in the second half yet. They've been taking the second half of games off. Hard for me to see how it's going to be any different. Monday night, prime time here. I think the Eagles likely do wipe out the Commanders, and maybe watch could score a late touchdown. This also could be, by the way, Heinicke's last start for the Commanders. Carson Wentz is eligible to be activated off of IR this week from the finger injury. Unless Heinicke does win this game or plays real well in a loss, odds are they're going back to Wentz next weekend as well. No Chase Young tonight. He wasn't activated for this game. I like the Eagles. I think they cover. It's a hard for me to put money on that. I think it's a teaser opportunity.
I'm going to take the underdog. I'm going to take the underdog and hope for the best. Although I will say, listen, the Commanders have been playing good football. I do like Heinicke. He keeps you in football games. I think they're crazy. They're going to start Carson Wentz, but they pay Carson Wentz like $30 million a year or whatever. And Heinicke gets $4 million a year. So that's just how the NFL works, unfortunately. It is stupid, but even if the better guy like makes less money. But, you know, in this division, and you're a Cowboy fan, so you know, certain teams always beat each other in this division. You throw out the records, and it's just sort of like they're always history repeats itself a lot in this division. And the fact is, Philadelphia have generally owned Washington over the years. The Commanders have really struggled 3-7-1 against the spread in their last 11 games against the Philadelphia Eagles. But with all that being stated, I still like them plus the points. Washington are playing good football right now. Double digits is too many points, in my opinion. More with Kurtz on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Gabriel Morency, throwing it down. We're live in Las Vegas, Nevada at the Rams and Colts game yesterday. Beautiful stadium at Allegiant. We posted some pictures. I tried to do some videos, but I guess I can still post them. It's a little late now. But the Wi-Fi is terrible there. The Wi-Fi was bad at the stadium. And I wasn't the only one. Like, I was actually better off than some people's phones just wouldn't work at all in that stadium. I was able to post pictures. And I could tweet stuff out, but I couldn't do any videos. But like I said, like people in my role were like, man, my phone doesn't work at all. You're lucky you're even able to post a picture. It's pretty frustrating. SoFi had Wi-Fi issues as well. And it's too bad because, you know, people, you know, go to these games. They want to get the experience. They want to post videos. They want to, you know what I mean? They want to tell me. They want their phones to be able to work at a game. But they don't. So George Kurtz, kick it with us. We got Monday Night Football tonight. George is we bust George up. We call him Captain Chalk at times. So I knew you weren't coming out with the underdog here. Maybe the ice tonight. Maybe George got some underdogs on the ice. I don't know. But listen, I can't argue the fact that Philadelphia have been a dominant team this year, and I can't argue the fact, as I stated, the Washington are 3-7-1 against the spread. In their last 11 games against the Philadelphia Eagles. We've seen, George, the Philadelphia Eagles have a tendency to come out strong in the first half and then take the pedal off the metal as the game goes on. It's a division game, Monday Night Football. They're going to be all lit and fired up for this game. But for me, I need a really good reason not to take double digits with an NFL team. And I don't have enough reasons not to do it, in my opinion. So give me Washington plus the 11.5.
Yeah, I think, once again, on normal games, you're probably right. All right, because whenever I see a big spread, I want to take the points too. And it's a huge spread tonight. And maybe I just hate the Washington team. I hate the ownership on down. I'm a Cowboy fan, right? So we just hate Washington. I hate Philadelphia too, but I hate Washington more. Now, you make an interesting point, though. I do wonder how Philadelphia reacts when someone does test them in the second half of a game. Do they just continue to blow them out, you know, and just, hey, now it's a really complete whitewash, or do they actually get tested? I don't know if you could say they've been tested all season long in the second half. I think every game has been, it's been over. We've known it's been over, you know, and
their schedule's been soft.
Yeah, not really try. So I do wonder how it's going to go. I'm going to tease it. I'm not going to take Philadelphia. It's just too much for me, but I'm going to tease it down to 4 points, 3.5 points, and go from there.
And with what? The over of the game or another game?
I think it's hard to rely on the over.
The total's too light. It's 42.5.
The under. Right, I'm going to bring it down. Philadelphia's going to score mid-20s, high-20s minimum. So I'm going to bring it down and go over the over total there. And I wouldn't shock me, like I said, Monday night Philadelphia, maybe they do want to play a little long here for the fans and that sort of thing. Yeah, they get to the low 30s. I think Philadelphia's going to take care of business tonight as far as a high point total for them. And Washington's not getting shut out. You know, they'll score 14, 17 points here. So I'm going to go for teasing Philadelphia in the over.
I'm going to take the Washington Commanders plus the points. And I'm going to get in on the over. I didn't get in on the over yet. I'm going to have to do this. And it's ironic, George. You figure, well, you're in Vegas. It's easy. But no, it's not that easy. I'm in the room right now. So it's not that easy. I'm in the room. We're doing the show. Right? It's like I sort of clued in. I'm like, man. I was like, man, I got to get this bet in. Like, you know, this Monday Night Football. Yeah, I'm going to go over the number, though. I think it's a little too light. I know these primetime games have been playing to the unders. But as George stated, I think he's right. Philadelphia is going to get into the mid, you know, they're going to get into the high 20s, I would imagine, right? Yeah. Philadelphia, let's say they score 27, 28 points. You would figure in that ballpark. And then what can Washington give us? Hey, 27, 20. Dude, the 42.5 is just light. And we'll find out whether, you know what I mean? We'll find out whether the odds makers are right about this in a couple hours after the game. But it's just, to me, George, it should be like a 45.5 or something. Like you said, like it really, really leaves them vulnerable for teasers because now you can get over 35.5 in a teaser only.
Yeah, that's and I like that. Listen, I wouldn't shock me if Philadelphia gets 31 to 34 points either here. They're certainly capable of doing that with that offense here. It's a healthy offense. So there's nothing we're worried about here. Philadelphia's a little bit banged up on defense as well here, which could help Washington score some points here. So I kind of like this teaser a lot. It's going through my head now. How much should I put on it? I'm actually thinking, you know, -4.5 Philadelphia. I think they win by a touchdown plus. They may not get to 11.5. I think they win by a touchdown plus here. So I don't think I'm going to sweat that out. And then 35.5. How would 36 points not being scored tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing it. Washington over. You know, you're teasing Philadelphia down. I'm going to tease Washington up. So now I'm going to get Washington at like, plus 18.5 over 35.5. But I can live with your 4.5. I get it. But I just like that 18.5 points, a lot of points, George. Unless they just get smoked. But
I like to think about going back in it and doing that as well. Because you're right.
Plus 18.5?
Plus 18.5. I mean, yeah, I think Washington loses the game. But I don't think that's a division game. I don't think they're going to get crushed. Washington's, like I said, they're a fighting team. They've been fighting for Rivera. They're not like they've given up here. And, you know, Heineke, as you said earlier, if he's worse than Wentz, it's not by much. It's not by much at all.
He's worse than Wentz.
He's not. The only thing that worries me about Heineke is this, though. He is sort of a gunslinger with a water gun. You know what I mean?
He wants to take some chances.
Okay. So that scares me a little bit. And he can throw some picks here.
Yeah, his attitude is, well, I'm out here. I got to make some plays. I'm going to do what I can do, whatever it takes to try to make,
he knows it.
Make some plays. I think he gives him a better chance of winning football games than Carson Wentz does. And we've seen it. Look, man, when he played in the playoffs, we saw against the Patriots Tom Brady and the Patriots and the Buccaneers and in the playoff game a couple of years ago when they won, he nearly beat him, right? He's beaten Aaron Rodgers. Like, he has some big-time feather in his cap wins, and he's had some close losses too against the spread. I don't have a problem with him, but as we know, the NFL doesn't operate on the best player playing. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't, right? It matters on how much you're getting paid and what the status is. Carson Wentz is lucky, man, because he's not going to be making this much money for much longer. People are going to be on to that. But, yeah, we're playing a teaser up to 18.5 points. Any props for you tonight, Kurtz? Any players catch your eye?
Well, hard not to like Miles Sanders as well as he's playing. A touchdown prop, it's funny. he couldn't score a touchdown to save his life last year, right? And now this year he's scoring touchdowns here. So I haven't decided on a touchdown prop for Sanders yet, but I'm going to go with him. I am on Heinicke to throw an interception. You know, it's what we're talking about. Now, I do that a lot, but it's not, nothing to do with Heinicke. I like – that's one of my favorite props, to go against the quarterback and throw a pick here. And I think he does throw one tonight for the Washington. I think Philadelphia will pick him off once. As far as the – I mean, we love A.J. Brown, right? I am on him to score a touchdown. It's Monday night in Philadelphia. I think he's scoring a touchdown. I think Hurts going to run one in. So I want to be on Hurts to score a touchdown as well. And I'm on Hurts as a prop as far as rushing yards also.
Quite a few. Starting to.
There's not much hockey tonight, so we'll go a lot of football.
You're starting to rack up the props in this game. Something you did say, though, about Washington, and it is true. I don't know. It's sort of like the Raiders from last year, in a sense, isn't it? In the way that, you know, the Raiders last year had, you know, the Gruden stuff, the coach with his, you know, the nasty, you know, his words and his emails, in which not everybody on the team cared, and then some guys did, right? Some guys were like, you know what, I always knew this about him, and now I'm proven right. And other guys were like, you know, he's not really a bad guy. He's just, you know, he just sort of talks like this. And so they were sort of, but they came together. My point was the football team came together, right? And they had the Ruggs stuff, the tragic, you know, Ruggs being an idiot. My point is with Washington, you know, they also hate Snyder and stuff, but they've done a good job keeping it together and playing hard anyways.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. George Kurtz in the house with us right now. We're kicking it in Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll be back in studio on Tuesday, tomorrow. And it's a good thing. You know, so we love this city, but, you know, we've been here 4 days now. I think that's, I think we've handled our business and they've handled it. Vegas handled us, I should say. You know what it is too, George? You know, you're in the desert out here. It always happens to me. It takes my voice, my throat to get adjusted. Very dry out here. You know what I mean? Like, it's very dry. Like, you know, the air conditioning is cranked all the time in every, like, casino and stuff and, like, sports book. And I don't like it. Like, it's always, it messes with my throat. And you get this, you know, it's just dry, man. Dry, dry, dry. Plus, I think I was yelling that the Raiders suck yesterday at the football game. Although I did hit a nice long field goal prop in that game. It was nice, too. I kidded with Cam last week. I said, I'm going to put $1,000. I said, this game is so bad. I said, I'm just going to put $1,000 on the field goal prop. It'll be my only bet. And it wasn't my only bet, but I did put $500 on it. I didn't put a dime. I put $500 on it. Thank God I did. And we hit it. And it's funny because people in my section, they sort of heard me like sweating it out. And Buddy's like, you got a field goal prop? Or like, you know what I mean? So then everyone knew, like all these Colt fans and stuff. Like I was sitting, there was a lot of Colt fans around. A lot of Colt fans there. And, they all knew, so when I got it, like, they were all cheering for me and stuff. It was pretty funny. They were happy. They were happy to Colts score, but they were like, dude, it's going to be a 47-yarder here, man. And the whole section was cheering for me. It went in. It was a fun time and stuff. So, you know, great, great atmosphere. But I will say that the Raiders have lost their home field advantage. Like, there is – listen, the home field doesn't really mean much in the NFL now anyways, but it's still – there's still a feeling. It's still your stadium. The Raiders, it isn't. It really isn't, George. It's a lot like the L.A. thing, right? But Vegas is just every bit as much where, listen, not everybody's going to go to L.A., but people that are close to L.A. will, or people that are in cold cities will, right? Oh, let's go see our team at SoFi and against the Rams or the Chargers or whatnot. And Vegas, like I said, dude, like, I'm not going to say half the stadium, but I'd say a third of the stadium were Colt fans. A third of the stadium were just people like me that were just there, like, as to be in an NFL game. Like, there was all kinds of other fans. Like, oh, no, I'm a Bronco fan. No, I'm an Eagle fan. No, I'm a Bills fan. Like, there were all kinds of other fans at the game. And then you get the Raider fans. But then you get, like, so the stadium is so nice, and it's so big, and it's so modern. Like, it's not like, it's kind of weird. It's the same thing with SoFi, George. You don't really feel like you're at a football stadium. Like, it's a cool experience and stuff, but it's like you're in a shopping center or something. Like, it doesn't have a football feel to it. It's like you're in a brand new mall or casino. Like SoFi Stadium's like an airport or something. It's like being in an airport and in a casino. Like, Allegiant, same thing. It's just this massive building that's super clean, super nice, but it doesn't have any hostility feel to it, George. It just is what it is. You're better off with the old dumpy stadiums outside. You get that nasty feel.
Well, yes, I think exactly right. If you want to have home field advantage, sure. The old stadiums were best. Fans were on top of the action, and all there was the football game, right? Or a baseball game or a hockey game, NBA game, whatever it is, right? That's what it was. It was the game that was the selling point. Nowadays, you can't do that, all right? It's actually the atmosphere, right? The arena is the selling point. What else can we do besides watch the game? Right? I mean, you got to have great seats. You got to have great food. That's what, when you were talking earlier in segment one about how the Wi-Fi was bad, this blows my mind. Because you got so many fans at this game. You mentioned they're not a fan of the game anyway. They want to be on their phones, right? On, you know, Instagram, taking pictures or talk to their friends or doing whatever they're doing, right?
And getting other scores, other games.
Exactly.
Like, it's one thing to go. Like, I can live with it. A lot of people are like, oh, I don't like leaving. I don't like missing the other games and stuff. Yeah, whatever. It's not like every NFL game is great. Your life will go on if you didn't see the Rams and Cards play on TV, right? But at the same point in time, George, you want to be knowing what's going on with the outside world as well. And if, you know, like the limited, it's ridiculous. The other one is ridiculous too. I could go on, like, these new stadiums. I don't know why they didn't build more bathrooms. That's another thing too. It's like, you know, you had the opportunity not to screw this up and you screwed it up anyways again. You know, like I said, I would have, there should be more facilities and stuff, but it does change, though, the environment. And look, the Raiders don't win at home. Like I said, I used to go to Raider games in L.A., and it wasn't Oakland, but it was L.A., and it was nuts. Like, they were, like, hardcore, crazy fans, and it had that atmosphere, at least. Like, it was like, man, whoa, this place is, like, nuts. Like, you know, other teams would feel it coming in. They don't feel it now. Like, the other team, like I said, you're in a mall. It's everything's been, it's same thing with these new hockey arenas and stuff too. They are nice, but it is what it is. Yet I'm all live to vent out, George. I look forward to getting back to the couch, buddy. I'm too old for this stuff. I'm just going to get back to the couch. And yeah, like, somebody asked me, hey, when's the next Bills game you're going to? I'm like, I don't know, babe, the Super Bowl. If they make it to the Super Bowl, but the way they're playing right now, I don't know if they're going to be making it to the Super Bowl, George. Might not make it to the playoffs the way they're playing.
Yesterday, you know, doing in-game live yesterday, it's hard. You know, when Bills, I associate you with the Bills. So seeing that game at the end, like, it's good Gabe's in. Good game. We knew you were in Vegas. So it's good Gabe's in Vegas. Because he's watching this game live in hotel room. He's going to jump off the roof, the balcony. He's going over. You and Carver's like, I mean, couldn't believe what happened there. And then, of course, the Cowboys do their own thing a couple of hours later where I'm joining you there. But, yeah, it's like, I know the Bills had a tough loss yesterday. And Josh Allen, I just think he's going through a little thing here where he's turning the ball over too much. Even though I don't know if the fumble was his fault or the center snapping into his butt. And I know his center was changed his angle a little bit there because he's worried about being submarined and all that in that situation. So I get that. But Allen's throwing too many picks here, some of the other problems there. I think if I'm a Bills fan, I look at the I'm going to be the optimist here. He played. Right? The elbow looked fine. I mean, maybe some passes he didn't have the zip on it he normally would, but the elbow looked fine. He played here. So just one of those games. I think it was just one of those games where it didn't work out for you, and you move on here. Problem with the Bills is, you know, you're only one game out of last place in that division. So it's a tough division. You've lost the first game to the Jets and Dolphins. You get them both again at home, I think, in 2 weeks. Easy games before that. You should take care of business there. So I think your season really comes down to, as far as getting home field and all that, those two games. You know, take care of business there. You'll be fine. You'll be no worse than the second seed.
I don't think, to be honest, and I know we've all said it, and I've said it as well, about the Bills getting that home field. I don't think it's as critical as, like, it's the be-all, end-all. Look, we just see them. They just lost on their home field, right? It's not like, you know what I mean, they've been impenetrable, like, and never lose in Orchard Park or anything like that. I think it's just, you know, you don't go to Kansas City. You know what I'm saying? I don't think like they, I think they could win on the road elsewhere, but they, you know, and they've proven they can win on the road in Kansas City in a regular season, and they should have won the game in the playoffs last year, and they fell apart. I'm with you, George. I'm not panicking as far as like, oh, they're not as good as we thought or this and that. I think it is a wake-up call, though, and a reminder that they don't have a better chance than other teams have. They're still Super Bowl favorites now, George. Like, I don't know, like, people are just in love with this team.
Yeah, didn't their odds go better after they lost yesterday, which made no sense? I think it went to 380 offhand.
It is, you're right, 380.
I mean, that was weird. That was weird, but you're right, whatever. I mean, I'm not...
They're ahead of the Eagles. The Eagles are 5-1. They're plus 380.
Yeah, weird. But I don't think it's wrong, by the way. The only team in the AFC that I would say might be better than them, and I don't think Kansas City is better, not 1-53. I know they, maybe they've been there, so that's why they get a little bit of a bump here. But Kansas City is the only team I would put at their level. You know, I'm not sold on Miami yet. I'm getting there, but Miami's got to win some big games first. You know, does Miami have to go through problems in the playoffs before they become that team? Maybe it's a year or two down the line here with Tua and such. And how does Tua, who doesn't have the greatest arm strength on the planet, throwing the ball very well, but how will he do in cold weather? Yeah, well, you don't generally you don't throw the ball as well here. So before I'm sold on Miami, I need to see that. I still think the Bills are the best overall team in the AFC. I think they're it's almost like a collision course with KC again. You know, we'll see how that works out. But I'm not a Bills fan, so I'm not saying this to pump anybody up here. I just think they're 1-53. They are the best team in the AFC. I think they just got through a rough patch here. I think the Jets game was a weird one. I don't know how they lose to the Jets. Not that the Jets are terrible. You shouldn't lose that game. Minnesota. Allen turned the ball over too many times. I think it's, like I said, a wake-up call here. You're not going to throw your helmets out there and beat all these teams. You got to play football. You got to play better. And I think Allen will clean it up.
He's going to have to. But I think he will. I think it's just sort of a he's trying to do too much. It's in his head right now. You know, and he's too good of a player, you know, to continue like this. But he has been. It has been a problem over the last 3 weeks. The Bills' defense, to me, George, though, I wouldn't discount. I've always thought, I said before the year started, well, I said everyone talks about Kansas City. I said for me, as a Bills fan, I said I do fear the Dolphins. I said I think the Dolphins are going to be a real load to deal with this year with Tyreek Hill and Waddle and Tua. And I thought McDaniel was going to do the job that he's doing. So I think they're as dangerous as anybody. And I'll tell you what, man. You know, Lamar Jackson can beat anybody on any given Sunday, right? Like, yeah, Baltimore, they're not a perfect football team, but Lamar Jackson is as good as anybody. And if he, you know, you have Lamar Jackson, you have a chance of winning a football game. So, like, to me, you know, I never thought it, though, George. And I've always been bothered by it that people have just anointed the Bills the Super Bowl champions all the time. I'm like, they got to prove it. We'll get into some hockey picks on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. George Kurtz throwing it down with us. We're going to – James Young, Coach James Young is back. I don't know where he was. I think, was he surprising his kids or something? He didn't want to say on the air the other day. Did he go to Disneyland or something? He was at Disneyland. So, whatever. We'll find out now. I guess he could talk about it. He's got a coach. We'll have Dave Sherapan. We'll join us as well. So, George, right now we're into the second period here with the New York Islanders and the Ottawa Senators. In-game total is now 4.5. New York Islanders, they're up 1-0 with 15 minutes left in the second period. Minus 265 on the money line right now. The Senators are plus 200, only down a goal, plus 200 right now. As I said, the total's 4.5, but minus 188 to the over. Did you play this game at all?
Yeah, this the total in this game was 6.5 for an Islander game, which I found very surprising. Now, I know the Islanders are scoring more goals this season than in the past, but 6.5 for an Islander-Ottawa game? No, it was all over the under in this game. Didn't see that happening at all here. As far as the game itself, you know, something I wanted to ask you. Do you – I know it's only an hour and a half, you know, but does it change your mind about betting teams? I thought about taking Ottawa. Does it change your mind about taking on a road team when they have weird starts? This is a 5:30 start local time. Well, at least I think it's local time in Ottawa because of the Hall of Fame induction tonight, which is barely not what game started. These start 7 or 7:30. So I did fiddle around with taking Ottawa in this game, but I was also wondering how they would react to not having Thomas Chabot. He's on IR with a concussion here, and it's not like Ottawa has great defensive depth here, which I guess is one of the reasons why the total was 6.5. I just don't think the Islanders are that kind of team that takes advantage of that sort of thing. So I end up not betting the game itself, just taking the under 6.5.
Oh, it's looking good so far. You know, I don't know. I mean, both teams have to play at the same time, right? It has to be a little bit strange. It's kind of a strange start time, like. But you're sort of already at the rink then, so I don't think it really matters, to be honest. I think, you know, I mean, like, if you're a baseball pitcher or whatever, I know some pitchers are pretty insane, right, about exact routine stuff. But as a whole, I don't think it has any effect. So the LA Kings and the Calgary Flames. Flames have been struggling, all right? So they're a 500 team on the season at 6-6-2. LA Kings have surprised some people. They surprised people last year with their play, and I don't think people thought they were going to be good again this year, and here they are. They're 10-6-1 on the season. They're a big underdog in this game. So the Calgary Flames are minus 182. The total is 6. Kings are plus 146.
Yeah, I mean, that's a high price to pay. You know, I mean, Calgary struggled. I think they broke a 7-game losing streak or something like that over the weekend. This is a team that should be better than what they're playing here. I wonder if this is a case where we had a lot of new pieces coming in, right? Kadri's coming in. Gaudreau leaves. You got Huberto coming in. So, you know, I think that's part of this, what they're struggling somewhat. I'm not laying 182. Not doing it. All right, there's no way. If I'm going to take Calgary tonight, it'll be in a parlay. But I don't feel great about them. The Kings are not a bad team. It's a solid team here. I think they played a little bit above their heads last season to make their playoffs, but they're growing into a solid team. This is a game I have nothing on right now. I don't even have a prop in this game yet.
It's tough to trust the Flames here. Like, it just is. I mean, it's almost like the Buffalo Bills, where people are going to believe in them. No, they're good. You know, they're good. Yeah, but they're not. Like, they're not winning games, right? Like, so there's a difference between being good and just not being winning games and being overpriced. I personally think that the Kings are kind of live here, to be honest. You know, there's no reason. One thing we should note, too, guys, the Kings, you don't think of them as an over team, but they're 10-5 to the over. They got they've been a big over team this year. So there could be some goals in this game tonight. I think the Kings could be live here, George, to be honest. For me, it would be the Kings or nothing. I think the Kings are a live dog here.
Oh, I agree with you. Actually, I'm not betting Calgary at minus 182, and I'm not taking them in a parlay because I don't like them enough. I just don't. You know, so I agree with you. You can take plus 146 with the Kings. Go ahead. I did look at, you know, taking the plus goal and a half, but that's minus 176, and that's too much for me to lay there. I wish you would. If they were reversed, by the way, if it was -146, I would probably lay the goal and take the goal in half, see what would happen here with the Kings, but not at -176. I can't do it. I don't see my mind changing on this. I guess if I were to change, it would be the same as you. It would be taking the Kings here, but I think I'll just leave this one alone.
Yeah, I'm with you in the sense that I'd like to get them. I like the puck and a half bets. Like, I'm a big fan of them. I do it often. Yeah, not at that price. It's a little high. I'll go up to like minus 150 type thing, George. You know what I mean? On a plus a puck and a half. I don't want to start getting into laying 76 cents and stuff. It's just not worth it in the long run. Sometimes you have to say, all right, you know, there's nothing there for us. Carolina and Chicago. Carolina minus 245 road favorites. Blackhawks plus 198. The total is 6. Now, here's another game, George, in which I'm not going to say that it's being priced on reputation only, but the Blackhawks haven't been terrible this year, but Carolina are a very popular team. Like, you know what I mean? They're not popular in the sense of, like, you know, you're going to see everyone wearing their jersey, but people in the hockey betting world, George, always like Carolina. They like Carolina futures often. They like the Canes. The Canes are just a trendy team with hockey people. And here they are as massive favorites on the road. What's your take on this one?
Yeah, this one I do have some bets in. You're right about the Blackhawks. They have played better than I think anybody expected, right? No Seth Jones, he's out. No Tara Vinen, by the way, for the Canes. He's on IR as well. Not that he was doing much this year anyway. It looks like Kochetkov is going to play. I think I got that last name right. Piotr Kochetkov is going to be a net for the Canes. Frederik Anderson's also on IR, so he'll get the start there. Not Rant that's tonight. Mrazek's going for Chicago. I automatically like the over. Right, I think goals are coming here. So give me the over six. It's a even at plus 100, so I'll take that. I'm going to parlay with Carolina. You know, I'm going to Carolina and Colorado, last two games of the night here as far as that parlay. And I think I am going to lay the goal in a half. I'm getting plus 104 with Carolina. You know, that scares me a little bit because I don't think this is going to be a blowout at all. I think Carolina is going to win the game. 4-3 comes to mind. You know, somewhere around there. I was going to say 4-2, but that wouldn't give me my over here. So I'll go 4-3. I might need that empty net goal here if I'm going to lay that goal and a half. So I got the, like I said, give me the over. I'm going to take the parlay with Carolina and Colorado. And I am very likely to lay that goal and a half at plus 104.
I don't know. I think it was Thursday night. I don't know. I guess, yeah, it was Chicago and the LA Kings. I think it was probably Thursday night. But anyways, Mrazek versus Quick, some of the best goaltending I've seen all year. When Mrazek's on top of his game, he is a very, very good goalie. So as far as the starting goaltenders tonight, Jonathan Quick goes for the Kings. Jacob Markstrom for the Flames. Kochetkov, as George talked about, with the Carolina Hurricanes. Mrazek for the Blackhawks. Jordan Binnington confirmed tonight for the St. Louis Blues against Georgiev. Of the Avalanche, George. And, you know, Binnington is a guy, he's an emotional guy, this and that, but let's just call it out for what it is. He's a jerk. Like, he gets into it with everybody all the time. It's one thing that, you know what I mean, okay, I'm not like other goalies, like, I'm going to get into it with other forwards and stuff like that, but, you know, I saw him the other day intentionally bump into the other goalie, like, when they, you know, in between periods. He does just little jerk things. What was it? Yeah, Sorokin. He just does these little jerk things all the time, this guy. And I understand why everybody hates him. Because everybody, I don't even think his teammates like him, to be honest. Like, you'll see, like, people will make a run at Binnington, and, like, the Blues players are tired of it. They're like, how many times do you want me to get into a fight because of you, bro? You do it, right? Like, you know, players will defend the goalie if the goalie gets run at and they like him. But if the goalie's a jerk, And the forward knows and your players know that, listen, he starts everything with these other guys, and then we've got to come in here, and it gets annoying. I just think his act is getting a little tired here. But here we have another big underdog here. So, yeah, the Avalanche are minus 200 here, George. Total of six.
Yeah, not to mention about Binnington. He sucks. He's not playing very well. Didn't play well very last year. Lost his starting job last year.
Yeah.
As Ottawa ties it up, they had a 5-on-3 power play, by the way. He lost his starting job last year, and you know, he sort of put the Blues in a bad spot last year because they had Ville-Husso, and they would have liked to have traded him because they were going to lose him to free agency after the season, but they couldn't because they needed him to take over. Then Husso didn't play well down the stretch. Binnington took over and actually played okay during the playoffs, but now he's not playing well again. His goals against average is north of 3. His save percentage is .895. That's horrific. Absolutely horrific here. And you're 100% correct about him wanting to start fights with everybody. And he gets frustrated. He goes, you know, you want to start it with a forward. Well, they can't fight you because that's going to start World War III, right? You know, a forward can't fight a goaltender. This can't happen. And most
that's what I'm saying.
Don't know how to fight.
Like, he's – yeah, but then his teammates have to get into it after because – and they're sick of it. But he never stops, George. The thing with Binnington, he never stops.
He's an ass.
Like, he bitches at the refs. He bitches at his own team. He bitches at the other team. It's just constant. He bumps into people. Like, he does, like, all these little things all the time. And as you stated, he hasn't even played well. But remember, George, he didn't have this attitude when he played well. So I don't know what happened and what some trigger, like, flick, you know, the switch changed. In which he's like, you know what, I'm just going to be the biggest jerk in the league now instead of just worrying about stopping the puck. I'm going to worry about all this other stuff, and I'm going to talk, and I'm going to run my mouth to everybody, right? And then here you are, as you said, you got an .895 save percentage. But what's your pick in the game here with the Avalanche? You putting them in the parlays, or what are you doing?
Yeah, they're in a parlay with me. Same situation here. I'm going to take the over six as well. Colorado, you know, they're not quite the same Stanley Cup team. They lost a lot of their offensive depth, right? Burakovsky's on Seattle. Kadri's on Calgary. Nichushkin's on IR. Landeskog's on IR. I mean, my God, they lost a lot of their offensive depth. Still, they're still a good team, maybe more heavy on the defense now. Girard's out too, I believe. So I'm still going Colorado. Give me them in a parlay with Carolina. I'm going to go the over six once again. Good price. I'm gonna take that. It's only -112 for a Colorado St. Louis game. St. Louis has not played well, basically. You know, they really haven't here. And I'm in the same situation. Minus a goal and a half is +120 here for Colorado. I'm likely gonna play that as well in these two late games.
Normally, I would be, man, St. Louis Blues plus a puck and a half. And for the record, so the other night, I pulled the Joe Namath guarantee. With the Blues. When they lost 8 in a row, it's like they're not losing to the Sharks. They're not losing 9 in a row. But I don't trust them here either. Normally I'd say, oh, you know what? You're getting the Blues plus a puck and a half. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, an empty netter beats you here, George, on the way out. Not impossible. So what's your what are your NFL bets for people that are just joining us right now? As George Kurtz will rejoin me on Sports Rage tonight. And I want to hear about George's personal family drama and issues. There's a lot of stuff going on at the George Kurtz household, so we look forward to hearing about this tonight. We got Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible, and Daryl Orlando Ledbetter covers the Falcons from Atlanta, so we got a full house tonight on the program. But what are you doing with the football game?
Yeah, give me the parlay. I got the Eagles in a parlay, 35.5 the over. Eagles down to 4.5. A.J. Brown, anytime touchdown. Hurts, anytime touchdown. Hurts to get over his rushing prop as well. Heineke, you throw an interception.
Are you a horror movie fan, George?
It has to be done real, but not today's horror movies, man. It's all the same nowadays. Give me the old-time movies.
I got an autographed Jason mask.
I saw, I think on Twitter.
I never die.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, everybody's been waiting for like some baseball news, some free agent signings. I told everybody last week, I said on Sports Rage, don't expect, it's not like the NBA where there's going to be like, oh, you know what I mean? Like at the first minute, there's going to be all these signings. You know, teams, you know, players shop themselves around. They want to, you know, create like a bidding war, and it's a lot of money, right? It's a lot of money. So we keep on waiting for some news, but we can't tell you that Julio Rodriguez has been named the American League Rookie of the Year. No surprise there. All right, so I'm taking the Washington Commanders tonight. I'm taking the Washington Commanders plus the points. I'm taking the over in this football game as well. So currently at FanDuel right now, it's 11.5 and 42.5. So we're getting 11.5 points with the Washington Commanders. I think the total is just a little light at 42.5. You figure Philadelphia is going to score probably about 27 to 30 points in this game. And I actually do believe that Washington can score like 20 points. Like 30 to 20 wouldn't surprise me in this game at all. You know, 29-21, 28-20. Like in that, you know what I mean? In that sort of like Philadelphia wins, it goes over, but they don't win by 12 type thing. They win by 7. They win by 9. Man, you're laying 11.5 points. It's a lot of points. That back door is swinging wide open. Right? Like you think about it, okay, you lay 11.5 points. Philadelphia could be winning by 18 in the fourth quarter, late in the game, up by 18. They take the pedal off the metal and Washington put one in and they cover the spread. But I don't think it's going to get like away from Washington that much. I think they can hang with Philadelphia. We keep waiting for Philadelphia to not play well. And the one time that they did, the one game they weren't great in was that game against Houston, when they were massive favorites, like on the road, and they handled their business, but they didn't have the same sort of electricity and emotion. They're going to have the electricity and emotion tonight, Monday Night Football at home.